Get ready for Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by TruPrep. For all your prepping needs, visit TruPrep online at truprep.com or visit a TruPrep store in Roswell or Marietta. Listen in as Doug and Amy provide helpful tips on how to get ready for anything that comes your way. And now, your hosts, Doug and Amy.
Welcome, everybody. You're listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. We're here this week. We're going to have a special guest. We're talking to Survivor Jane in our second segment today. And she's the author of Where There Is No Cosmetics Counter and the leader of hashtag Prepper Talk on Twitter. And I've been following the Twitter feed for a while now, and it's really an interesting thing to see how a large community of people are coming out in a mainstream fashion to talking about being prepared and being ready for whatever comes next. And, you know, that's the focus of our show here, is to help people be aware of emergency preparedness, to be aware of homesteading issues, to be aware of ways to be sustainable, self-sufficient, to be independent of both, you know, government and other forms of supply that are artificial, to be able to bring things home.
Yes, and of course, our wonderful sponsors at True Prep allow us to do this every week, so a big shout out to True Prep. And today, Doug, I'm excited about today's show. For one thing, I've always found that emergency preparedness has been sort of male dominated, I guess, and I'm interested to get Jane's take on that. But to have another lady to come in and just chit chat back and forth, and let me tell you, she is calling in today. But if she were right here, I would love to take her out for a cup of coffee, and I would imagine we would just talk like little hens for hours.
Well, maybe you'll let me start the conversation then, because I have this feeling that once you get going with her, you're gonna steal the show. But
I'll be nice.
I'm very excited too, because I think that a lot of people still see prepping as kind of the doomsday prepper out there, far out, sort of let's build a bunker and buy a bunch of gas masks sort of prepping. But that's not what Jane looks at, and that's not what I look at, and that's not what a lot of people really see as being prepared. Being prepared is a lifestyle where you say, hey, I don't have to be dependent. Mm-hmm. And that's what she's focusing on. When she talks on Prepper Talk, she brings in topics like the same things we talk about. Mm-hmm. How do you broach the subject to somebody new? And how do you bring this up to them? And what are the most important things? What does thrift mean? That's a big part of prepping, is being thrifty, because it allows you to stretch your dollars and to be more. I mean, if you're thrifty with your supplies, then they'll last longer, and it makes you a more efficient prepper. I mean, that's a great idea. Concepts that came out of the Great Depression and the 1930s. These are core concepts to prepping that, you know, get overlooked by, you know, when you start to talk about the end of the world or nuclear disaster or things like that. People don't think about in terms of what can I do today and what do I need to do to just make sure that my family is more sufficient and more stable. But Jane brings that out in Prepper Talk, hashtag Prepper Talk on Twitter. And I think that that's an amazing thing.
Yeah, and I like the idea of sort of prepping in a cost-efficient manner. And one of the things, you know, I know that with people who are new to emergency preparedness, I mean, you know, I kind of look at it sort of like a hobby, although I know it could be a life-saving hobby one day. But, you know, anything new that you sort of take on, it's usually going to cost a little bit of money. You know, for example, you know, just kind of starting off and maybe buying those extra cans of canned food to store, that's going to take a little bit of extra pocket money. But the thing is, you're going to use it. Hopefully, you're going to use it. You just kind of rotate through it and use it. But there is money that comes up initially, and I love doing a little thrift store preparing and things along those lines. I found some pretty neat things at a thrift store that I can use in emergency preparedness. But one of the things I really like about Jane's book, and one of the things I'm excited to talk to her about, are you know, she talks about using everyday household items in creating you know, your hygiene products, you know, like soaps and bath oils and you know, things along those lines. But and she does bring about sort of the you know, instead of I kind of giggle because when you, if you Google search a prepper or emergency preparedness and click on images, I mean, you're going to see pictures of like gas masks and men running around in camo and things like that. But she definitely brings a whole new aspect.
Well, one of the things that, that she is social. I mean, when we talk to her, I've spoken to her at length leading up to this interview, mm-hmm. and you can tell she's a very social person. And it makes sense that, you know, she has this outreach in Twitter, but more than just Twitter, she's also on Facebook and Pinterest. And she has her own webpage, SurvivorJane.com, where she lists, you know, basically blog articles and is able to get her voice out there about a mainstream sort of preparedness, exactly what we've been asking people to get involved with for all these months that we have been here on the radio, thanks to True Prep and thanks to AM 1160 and all of our sponsors that have brought us the ability to reach out to people and bring this message of being prepared is not crazy. Being mm-hmm. prepared mm-hmm. is something that we used to do as a nation, that we used to do as a people, mm-hmm. but we have gotten away from it. We have become a government-dependent style oh, yes. lifestyle, and it doesn't have to be that way. We can be self-sufficient again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is a lost art. You know, I mean, just when you look at the homesteading aspect of emergency preparedness, now there are a couple different levels. I mean, if some people are preparing maybe just for a natural disaster that might last a week, or, you know, all the way up to people who are concerned about a financial collapse, like we talked about last week, sort of more, you know, a longer term situation. If you do look into sort of the longer term, and if you're looking at the homesteading aspect, you know, maybe having a couple chickens and some tomato plants and and I got the picture, by the way. I saw that of your daughter, and how stinking cute.
Thank you.
Was
yeah.
That?
No, we have 6 chickens now. They're growing rapidly. They're starting mm-hmm. to fly. I've been encouraged uh-huh. to clip their wings, but I don't know if I really want to do that.
Why?
Well, why would I not want to, or why should I?
I guess both.
The argument for why I should is because it will make them homebodies, and therefore they won't be wandering around. Mm-hmm. And I do have
Makes
neighbors
sense.
With chickens, so they could eat, and they're social creatures, so mm-hmm. they could easily try to join other people's flocks.
Hey, how you doing?
if they're given the chance. And mm-hmm. my neighbors have roosters, too, so that could also give them a reason to kind of fly the coop, so to speak.
Sure.
But I think that it's just better to allow them to be able to roost in a tree if they wish to and move around. And, of course, you know, they have the coop at night to keep them safe from the possums and foxes and whatnot, coyotes. Mm-hmm. But I didn't declaw my cat either, so I...
Well, that's a little different.
Well, yeah, it's a little different, but not that much, really. I mean, I would like to these creatures to be able to have their kind of natural life cycle and allow them to do what they is necessary for them. Now, I don't want them going and living with the neighbors because they're my chickens, but if they're going to stay anywhere close to home, it's an experiment. So I would like to see what happens mm-hmm. this way before I start altering their natural inclinations.
Sure. Well, do what you got to do, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I know that Jane has, and she'll probably talk about it when we get a hold of her, but I know that she used to live in the big city, and now she's kind of ventured out to more of a homesteading little plot of land.
Yeah, I know a little bit about her background, and I'm going to see if she'll talk about that. I know she's very open with how she got into prepping and how her life changed through a series of rather dramatic events, mm. really. So I'm looking forward to her perspective and her take on this. I mean, she reaches out. Yeah, hashtag Prepper Talk every night has over 300,000 participants.
Mm.
I mean, you think about that. That's the size of the city of Atlanta.
Wow, that's impressive.
Every single person in the city of Atlanta, if they all got on, would be equal to the number of people involved in Prepper Talk.
That's amazing. Now, does she talk? I know with her book, she focuses more on hygiene and soaps and all the lady stuff. Does she on the Prepper Talk, is that
it's
kind
very,
of the main focus, I guess?
It's a very open and flowing discussion. Mm-hmm. Everybody brings their own part to it. There's a topic usually, but mm-hmm. things get off topic. And
like you and me, kind of.
Yeah, I mean,
sure.
it's really a conversation mm-hmm. among yeah. 300,000 people mm-hmm. to bring them into the fold and talk about what you can do. And everything from gardening to disasters to how do you talk to your neighbors mm-hmm. to how do you keep secrets, how do you keep, some OPSEC and all this.
Yeah.
All those are topics I've seen come and go on hashtag Prepper Talk, and I really encourage all of our listeners who use Twitter to hop on. It happens every evening, every weeknight. It's mm-hmm. they're on there talking for several hours from like about 6 to 10 Eastern. I see it start up. And it's a wonderful chance for everybody to get involved and to have this flowing conversation and to get new ideas. And there's links and YouTube videos that get brought up. It's a, you know, we talk about how everyone gets overwhelmed mm-hmm. when you just do a mm-hmm. Google search. This is a way that the cream of the crop is brought to you on a nightly basis to really see what's going on. I mean, it's kind of like the best of what True Prep does with their classes and courses and their, you know, knowledgeable staff brought to you in your very home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And that would be really interesting, you know, too, when, because I can't tell you how many times I've just been, you know, in a circle of like-minded people and you just start chit-chatting and it's just amazing where the conversation goes. And, you know, this place also that she has created would, you know, is just an excellent place for questions. And, you know, we are talking, you know, about today, you know, with like the gender-specific hygiene and things along those lines. I mean, you know, people have questions. I mean, there are certain disposable items that you can buy every day at the grocery store that weren't necessarily, you know, in the market hundreds of years ago. You know, what did women use for this, for certain gender specific you know, disposable hygiene items, and what if you weren't able to get to the local drugstore for these items, what do you do? You know, these are some of the great questions that that a lot of times, especially women, that they get together and start talking about these things, and you bring these up and in conversation, and there are some good solutions out there.
Absolutely. I know we're coming up on a commercial break, folks, so hang tight. When we come back, we will have Survivor Jane here with us on the phone. She's going to be talking about women's issues, her new book, and her website. So everyone hang tight. We are Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. You're listening to us on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. We're here on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town, talking with Survivor Jane, who is the originator, creator of hashtag Prepper Talk on Twitter, and who is the author of Where There Is No Cosmetics Counter. Welcome to the show, Jane.
Thanks, Doug.
It's really an honor to have you on the show with us. I know that I've been following the hashtag Prepper Talk for a while, and you have so many followers on Twitter. It's really becoming a small empire for you.
Actually, we're all in this together. It's not about me. It's about opening others' eyes to what's going on around them. But thank you.
Well, you do such a wonderful job of moderating and getting people involved and directing the conversation every night. And it's a difficult thing to take. It's kind of like herding cats on Twitter. I mean, there's so many different viewpoints and so many different people and so many different perspectives. But you bring a real focus to it and give a focus on the prepping issues that are pertinent for today. And I think it's just amazing what you do there. How did you get into prepping?
Well, honestly, it was a series of events. You know, a lot of people, they ask, have you always been into preparedness? No, absolutely not. I was probably one of the most oblivious to what was going on around me. I mean, we all know the Y2K. Well, I was clueless about what was going on around me, but I was also clueless to computers, Doug. So when people said you needed to have water and you needed to have food and you need to have supplies because the computers are going to crash, and the end of the world is going to end as we know it. I mean, that was just totally. So instead of be proactive, I did absolutely nothing. I remember 1999 watching the ball drop, sitting in my living room, and then getting that little weird feeling that you get like, oh my gosh, what if they were right? Well, apparently they weren't right, and as everybody else, I just continued on with my little rosy, oblivious to what was going on around me life. And then, of course, 2004 rolled around. That was back-to-back hurricanes. And when I'm saying back-to-back, Doug, that was 2 weeks apart in Orlando, Florida. I got hit.
Wow.
It was two. Yeah, and there was like a piece, a part of my home went with every hit. So that's when my eyes were open to, embarrassingly so, that gas pumps actually work on electricity. And ATM machines do too. And if you don't have any cash, you're not going to be getting any gas. And you're definitely not going to be going to restaurants to eat because they too need electricity. I mean, it's those that's how oblivious a lot of the people are out there.
Well, I was I saw a statistic just this last weekend that 53% of American households don't even have 2 weeks' supply of food or water in their home. I mean, it really is prevalent that people take for granted the way that our society works.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. 2007, really quickly, the bubble crash or the bubble pop, you know, my house was worth absolutely nothing. All of a sudden, my gated community is now crime-ridden because people can't afford their mortgage, so they're renting them out or leasing them out to not just one household. They were leasing them out to multifamily. So now you've got cars parked everywhere. Mm-hmm. You've got people coming in and out at all hours of the day and night. But the one that got my attention was, well, there are two things: the market crash. My 401k was dwindling down to nothing. I was actually losing $7,000 a month.
Wow.
Now, that's not a lot for some people, but for me, that was going to be my retirement, and I couldn't afford to, I couldn't lose that. But the straw that broke the camel's back was when I'm coming out of a downtown parking garage, and I am thinking I'm letting two people run to catch a bus because I see them running down the sidewalk. Actually, what I was doing is stopping to let myself be a victim, as in a carjacking, because they had just robbed somebody at an ATM machine, and so they both had guns, and they were both trying to get into my car.
Oh, wow.
That's when I knew I wasn't in Kansas anymore, and I knew that living in Orlando, Florida, there's only one way in and one way out, and I knew that things had to change. So I took a huge leap of faith, and I decided to move to Western North Carolina.
That's really an amazing story. I mean, when you think about a real-life example of how things can change so drastically and how it can be driven home, I can't think of a better example overall of the way that the world changes as we know it. I mean, that sort of a situation is just, I mean, it's frightening, but it's also awe-inspiring to hear how that affected you.
Well, I just knew that my head could no longer be in the sand. I'll tell you, it's more comfortable. When I would come home, I didn't turn on the news. I actually turned on my sitcoms, or I turned on my reality shows, or I turned on my fantasy worlds. You know, you just you don't pay attention to the newspaper. You don't pay attention to what you're supposed to be watching, as in the news or what's happening around you. It's really easy to live in that world.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And I think that a lot of people choose to kind of vacate from reality by escaping into something that's much more pleasant and refusing to deal with the realities that we have and in, you know, the market instabilities and the rampant crime that is all over this country.
Absolutely.
Now, that's a great start, but that, you know, a lot of people have that kind of revelation and they start to mm-hmm. prepare, but they don't end up being, you know, the leader of Prepper Talk. How did you get involved with Twitter and take it to the level that it's become today?
Well, it first began by me trying to do research for preparedness. I needed to know more about what was going on. And, you know, Doug, the more I researched, the more frustrated I got. You know, these sites are talking about these weird acronyms. It's like, Bob, who's Bob and why do you want me to take him every place I go? Or, you know, the Tiawaki, you know, it's like, you know, what are these languages that we're talking about? And then they talk about camo and guns and just some really scary, dark things. And I became really frustrated because of the fact that I was looking up more words and phrases than I was actually learning, and it dawned on me that, you know, there's probably more people out there like me. So that's where I decided to actually create SurvivorJane .com, and as a kind of a continuation of that, I was on Twitter and I couldn't find any like-minded people, because as you know, a lot of people, just because their name is Doug, doesn't mean Doug's a prepper. You know, unless you have some type of survival or prepper, preparedness, homestead, something in your name or profile to show that you're a prepper, you wouldn't know. And I didn't want to just follow people to follow people. I wanted people of like mind. I wanted to learn from them. So I created the hashtag Prepper Talk, just purely to bring people together. It has actually grown to, there was one statistic that somebody did that was like 300,000 users now of Prepper Talk from worldwide. And that's just amazing how what an outreach that it's had.
I think that's just astounding. And I know Amy, you know, she follows things on Twitter as well occasionally, and she is really excited to have you here in the studio with us.
Oh, beyond excited, Jane.
Hi, Amy.
How are you, Jane?
I'm great.
Good. You know, and I've just, one of the things I was so extremely excited about when I heard that we were going to have another female, another prepper female, you know, on our show, I was just absolutely ecstatic. And because, you know, one thing I have found, and Jane, I'm very interested to know if you have found this to be true, but I have found that, you know, the prepper world is almost, you know, male dominated. And, you know, you have a lot of men who are, I don't know, I guess would be your main preppers. And you know, it just doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of women. Now, I will say at this point, more so are coming forward and say, you know, this really does make sense. Do you find that to be true, Jane?
Absolutely. And when I go out speaking and I see at these conventions and these expos, the preparedness events, it almost seems like it's at least 90% men. And then you see the sweet little wife, the sweet little girlfriend, the sweet little kids. They're just kind of following along with dad, but they're not quite sure. It's almost like going to a gun show, you know? I mean, take a man and take him to a jewelry bazaar and see how he's
right.
in it, you know?
Sure.
I mean, men and women, honestly, they speak a different language.
Yes.
And that's another reason why I created Survivor Jane, because I realized that some of the conversation that the guys in their preparedness websites were saying, they were a little bit more threatening to women. I mean, we are not growing, we haven't grown up hunting, and we haven't grown up with camouflage, or we haven't grown up playing army when we were little boys or little girls. You know, we haven't done all these things that are so comfortable to men that it almost segues into preparedness anyhow. Because if you can do Boy Scout things, you know, you're very comfortable going out into the woods. Well, a lot of times girls don't do those things, and so we have to understand that what we're trying to say is you just need to plan ahead.
Right,
that's all.
Right. But, you know, and one of the things that I've always found very surprising is that with emergency preparedness, it's not just all the Boy Scout stuff. I mean, there's a lot of things, you know, as far as the preparedness goes, that women are involved in. And a lot of that, I mean, like, for example, you come to my house, you're going to get fed, you know, kind of thing. And,
sure.
You know, we have those types of emotions and personalities. But Jane, I'll tell you what, hang on just a second. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back, and we have so much to talk about. I'm so excited you're here. Everyone, you're listening to Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ready Radio, and we have our guest today, Survivor Jane. And Jane has a great book. It's called Where There Is No Cosmetic Counter, which I absolutely love the title. But it also says underneath, how not to look like a zombie even after the end of the world as you know it. So I think, you know, this ties in with Doug a little bit there too, buddy. We don't need you looking like a zombie either.
That's a long running joke on this show, Jane, because our first show we did on Halloween, and Amy pointed out how I tended to look a little bit like a zombie that early in the morning when we were on air. So I never lived that one down.
Oh, nor will you.
You won't, yeah.
Exactly. Well, Jane, tell us a little bit about your book. What someone can find inside?
Well, let me tell you, I'm rural now. I've gone from the city girly girl to a rural homestead lifestyle.
Congratulations, by the way.
Well, thank you very much. But it's not easy, because I came from a lifestyle of living in Orlando, Florida. There is a shopping mall at every corner.
Sure.
I mean, you don't have to go more than 5 minutes and you have access to the better department stores. Well, here, I would have to drive an hour just to get to one mall. I mean, I am very, very rural, which means I don't have the luxury just to jump into a vehicle and drive to go get any personal items.
Okay, so here is so you're in North Carolina now, is that correct?
I'm in Western North Carolina.
Western North
That's
Carolina.
Correct.
Okay.
And I also don't have the luxury to spend the money like I should. I mean, like I would want to. I cashed out my 401k to move.
That's very
bold.
That
is my livelihood, and so I have got to watch my pennies. So I'm a what-if type of girl. You know, I try to think, oh, my gosh, what if I couldn't get this? What if I couldn't do that? What if I can't go there? What if? So I began, just for me personally, to start investigating what I could do to use to clean myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I started compiling all these. I had a little notebook that said healthcare, you know, beauty things, little recipes here and there. And I started compiling it. And I got to thinking, you know, there's going to be a time when nobody can go to a cosmetic counter to buy their personal hygiene products, you know, due to some catastrophic event.
Mm-hmm.
What are people going to do then?
Yeah, so are these items that you're referring to, are they more, because I sort of look at my hygiene items as wants and needs. So in your book, do you describe more things that are wants, needs, or maybe a mixture of both?
They are actually a mixture of both. You have your basics, which are your shampoos and your washes and your toothpaste and mouthwash and things like that. Those are the things that you need for good hygiene. But I also have special things, hot oil treatments and foot soaks and fizzy baths and, you know, kind of special things that you don't necessarily, like you said, there's those wants and needs. You know, you need to be clean, but you'd love to have a warm foot soak, or you'd like to have a nice hot oil treatment for your hair, or you'd like to have a nice manicure. So I actually added all of those because all of the things that these remedies are made from, Amy, are in your kitchen.
Mm.
I mean, it's not like you're going and getting any weird concoctions or no chemicals. And I'm not a real green person. I wish I could say that I was, but I'm not. And so this is actually, you know, in preparedness, that we always have to focus on redundancy.
Mm-hmm.
And how neat is it that you could still kind of feel girlish and not have to worry about spending all that money. Another thing is a lot of men have been buying this book as a resource book because if and when the poo ever hits the fan,
mm-hmm.
the family is going to look to them for guidance on, well, wait a minute, we don't have any shampoo. Or wait a minute, how are we going to clean? We don't have any soap.
Sure.
Wait a minute, what are we going to do, Dad? So I thought that was an awesome, this was more just like Prepper Talk or anything else. It was an outreach for people to see that it's not about giving up. That's what so many women are afraid of, I've sensed, is they don't want to lose that womanness that they have.
Right. Yeah, and this might be a great way for the husbands maybe to get their wives involved in emergency preparedness if they're not.
Absolutely, in a little way.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know that hygiene, personal hygiene, you know, we know our basic needs. We know the food and the water and the shelter and the protection, but hygiene is the most overlooked of the basic needs, and yet cleanliness, when you think about the infection and the diseases, those are going to be the number one killers
right.
of people that do survive any type of poo hits the fan.
I agree with you. You know, that's one of my soapboxes that I stand on is the hygiene soapbox. And you know, I really wish this were a TV show because everybody could have seen where I just stuck my tongue out at Doug. and he grimaced a little bit because he's like, I know. He gave me the eye roll. I know. So love it. Oh, Jane, one of the things that I saw on your website that you mentioned, and you said survival is a mindset. And what I'm interested to know is maybe your thoughts on women's emotions and, you know, just sort of how that plays a part.
Well, it's a mindset and it's a lifestyle. And like Doug and I were talking earlier in the show, I would be probably the poster child for being oblivious to what was going on around mm-hmm. me. I live in a cushy, comfortable world. No news, no bad doom and gloom, anything. I focused on my fashion magazines, I focused on my TV shows, and I focused on the internet and social media and having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that was dark. And like I said, I really think that women are afraid they're going to have to give up something in order to be prepared. Mm-hmm. And so therefore they shy away from it because, you know what? I had a really good life. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody that is oblivious to what's going on has a good life. Once you become accountable, once you realize that things aren't as good as they need to be, then all of a sudden you have to probably start thinking in not so rosy
mm-hmm.
terms.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that that's where a lot of women are stuck. They don't want to give up in order to be prepared.
Right.
I myself, I'd rather I force myself to have a lifestyle like this opposed to something or someone forcing me to have mm-hmm. to live this lifestyle.
Right. And to our listeners also, you know, that you have definitely taken, you know, extreme wonderful measures. I'm envious in ways for sure. So that when and if something does happen, you are definitely sitting pretty. You like that?
I did.
Thank you.
I like that girly
yes,
term.
That's right. You know, but there's, you know, and for our listeners too, you know, we are Ready Radio. It's all about emergency preparedness and, you know, True Prep, of course, is our sponsor. But there are so many things that we can do, and we don't necessarily have to, you know, move out to some land to do more homesteading stuff. These are the things that you describe in your book that people can do every day. And the nice thing is if they get your book and practice with the recipes and have these items on hand, if something like this does happen, no matter where they are, you know, this is something that they can apply to everyday life.
And that's what I stress. You know, the where there is no cosmetic counter is strictly where my mind thought was, because I was in a income bracket that I could go to the better department stores and I could buy anything I needed right there at the cosmetic counter. Well, I can't do that any longer. My life as I know it has totally changed, so I can't do it. But there's going to be a time where, again, like I said, that we might all be forced, that we can't go to a drugstore, we can't mm-hmm. go anywhere. So I look at this as a valuable emergency survival hygiene resource book. Even if you don't buy it to use right now, which a lot of us, we buy cookbooks, we buy all kinds of resource books that we have in our preparedness resource mm-hmm. libraries that, honestly, we haven't sat down and even read. I'll stand up and say, hi, my name is Survivor Jane. I haven't read them all,
mm-hmm.
But I have them. And if the poo hits the fan, we'll have that time that, okay, let's get it out and start using it. So
there's no TV for sure.
There's no, that's right. You know, start learning how to paint the barn the natural way. But that's what I stress, because hygiene is so overlooked that I want people to know that it's going to be paramount we stay clean.
What I like best about your book, Jane, is that it allows people to move away from the large pharmaceutical companies and to be able to get their own remedies for things, to be able to have things that they make at home and knows what goes into it, knows what the ingredients are, and to be moving away from like the petrochemicals and some of the larger pharmaceutical magnets that are controlling our hygiene. I know that we're coming up on our commercial break, and we really appreciate having you with us today, Jane. It's been fantastic. I would encourage all of our listeners to follow you at Survivor Jane on Twitter, to go to your website, survivorjane.com, to get your book, whether it's from your website or if they want to buy it locally, they can come over to any one of the True Prep stores and pick it up there. And we really appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed it so much, Doug and Amy.
All right, folks, we're going to be back in just a few minutes to close out the show. You're listening to Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Ready Radio. We had a great time talking with Jane over the last few
minutes.
She
really was great.
She was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that, you know, she is becoming this social media you know, empire. And I mentioned that she downplayed and said, mm-hmm. no, it's a community effort, and she's very, very gracious. Mm-hmm. But no one else is doing it. Nobody mm-hmm. else is out there with 300,000 followers on Twitter mm-hmm. in engaging in prepper talk every night. No one else is out there with a website like this and going to these expos and raising awareness. I don't see very many women being involved in prepping like you mentioned mm-hmm. to her, right. but here she is leading the way and making it easier for women to get involved. I mean, this is phenomenal. And it all comes from, you know, the social media. Mm-hmm. She's on Facebook. She's on Twitter. It's just like, you know, Ready Radio. We have our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. We have our Twitter. We have our web page that people can email us questions at info@readyradio.net, or just check out our show or listen to past shows. You know, True Prep has an online presence that's second to none. I did a Google search anonymously, mm-hmm. you know, using the incognito tab mm-hmm. in Google Chrome. And True Prep comes up as number two in a Google search for the word survival store.
Ooh, impressive.
Nationwide.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they really have an online presence. Yeah. But, and they have their Facebook page. I think they actually have four of them, one for mm-hmm. every store plus a corporate one. Mm-hmm. They have their Twitter feed. They have, you know, Pinterest accounts. That brings an interesting question, though, because, I mean, all of these social media outlets are a great way for preppers to get together and to talk. I mean, just like Prepper Talk, they can get together and discuss what's going on. But here we hear in the news every day about, you know, the NSA using Facebook to infect people's computers, and the NSA following things on Twitter, and the NSA reading our emails. You know, I'm just going to put it to you. Do you have concerns, Amy, about using social media and how it affects your ability to prep?
You know, not so much. You know, one of the things that I guess, Doug, the sort of the way I look at it is if I had to go out on my own and just figure everything out on my own without any help, I would be a far cry behind where I am now. And that's because I really do use this as a tool. And you know, I mean, I figure, you know, I mean, I've got some great, you know, solid resources. I've got a lot of great books and things along those lines, because I am one of those that believe that, you know, something happening so that we wouldn't have the use of maybe the internet and things that we currently have now is a possibility.
Well, that's a really good point, too. I mean, you think about it, you know, we're kind of in a Red Queen's race in a way. You've got to run as fast as you can to stay where you are, because the mm-hmm. moment the internet turns off, the mm-hmm. moment there is a huge disruption, whether the government shuts it down, or there's a disaster that shuts mm-hmm. it down, or there's some kind of other influence that causes the internet to go away, mm-hmm. you're not going to have access to it anymore. So the more you learn, yes. the better off you are. And that brings me to another article that I had read, that the internet is changing the way humans learn. Mm. We no longer learn to remember, we learn to find.
Oh, that's a good point.
And what it used to be is you would memorize the name of every president in order. You know, in grade school, you would mm-hmm. memorize mm-hmm. the names of all the capitals of the states.
Yep.
Now, you don't bother. You just say, okay, well, I know how to find it. I type in capital of Arkansas in Google, and I'll have it.
Right, so and it's on our hip, for crying yeah. out loud, and these smartphones that we're all carrying around, so it's quick.
So people don't yeah. actually memorize mm-hmm. to remember the information, mm-hmm. they memorize to remember how to find the information.
Yes, yes. And Doug, it wasn't that long ago, I had a lot of phone numbers memorized. You know, mm-hmm. When I was a kid growing up, I knew my best friend's phone number and my phone number and you know, every phone number that I needed, I had quite a few. It was quite impressive. Right now, I'm not even really sure if I remember my husband's phone number.
I know I don't remember my wife's or my own. Yeah. People ask me for mine all the time, and I look it up under my phone number in my phone because I don't, yeah. you know, you don't call the numbers anymore.
Yes,
you just hit
right.
the face.
That's right. That's true.
Or even better yet, you just say, call Doug, and poof, there it does it. You know, because yes. your phone is that smart.
We are so spoiled rotten, we don't even know.
Well, that's the problem, because when it all goes away, only what you have written down or in your memory is going to count. Mm. So by engaging, and the best way to put things into memory is by having it tied to something funny or something important in your life. So being involved in a conversation locks these facts and information into your memory in a better way than just reading it out of a book ever will. And being a part of Prepper Talk will help you remember vastly more information than you would normally.
Yes, because there is so much great information out there right now, and that is a, you know, Prepper Talk is an excellent source and a great place to go. I mean, there are a lot of great places on the internet, but let me tell you, it gets overwhelming. And not only that, but there's a lot of junk out there. You really have to sort through, you know, the, you know, just the junk. And here's the big thing, Doug. there's not a lot of people who claim to be, you know, experts. And I will say Jane does not, you know, claim to be an expert. She just definitely has a passion, you know, for this. And she has some great, you know, great personal knowledge and that sort of thing.
She's far too modest is what she is.
Yes, she is. She is. She's great. But, you know, you have some people that do claim to be experts. But, you know, a lot of them have not lived through, you know, something like this. And a lot of this is kind of a guessing game, really.
The more things change, the more they stay the same. And when I started getting into prepping and into looking at all the products out there, I was really reminded of the snake oil salesman back in the 1880s and 90s who go town to town peddling their product. You read some of the claims these things, you know, that it'll remove this or that, or that this thing does this or that. One of my favorite, I saw a product just a week ago, and there are these little tablets that are chocolate flavored, and they taste like if you were eating a Swiss Miss pouch just straight.
Did
you have one of those?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
250 calories will get you through a whole day. 14-day food supply at 250 calories a day.
Yeah, that doesn't add up.
Yeah. I don't care how you do it. You're going to die.
Yeah. Wow.
But, you know, that's what's out there is these people who promise you the moon. And
well, not only that, but I mean, there's, you know, just this whole emergency preparedness is becoming so mainstream and people are jumping on the wagon.
Well, that was something that was really interesting last night on Prepper Talk, is that there's this guy who's spamming Prepper Talk and he's selling everything from infinity cars to sleeping bags to coffee grinders, and it's like having nothing to do with prepping. He's just spamming the channel trying to put out ads. And why is he doing that? Well, because they got 300,000 people on there. every tweet he sends gets seen 300,000 times. That's amazing. Well, you know what? That means prepping has really become mainstream.
It really is. It makes sense because we can see what's happening. You know, when we turn on the news and we see, you know, through a natural disaster, people standing on their roofs, you know, yelling for help. And, you know, we don't want to be that statistic. We don't want to be that person on our roof begging for help. We want to be the person, you know, down in the living room with water purification.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we've been talking about, you know, learning things from Prepper's Talk and learning things through the internet. But some people don't learn very well that way. I mean, some people really need to have their questions answered directly, to be able to see things in real time, to be guided. And those people, you know, should seek out classes. Classes are another great way to get involved in prepping and to learn a new skill or a new trade or a new, you know, set of abilities, and to be able to become a more full and complete person. And of course, our sponsors True Prep have an exhaustive curriculum of classes that they offer at their stores.
Yes, and a knowledgeable staff, which I really enjoy about True Prep. You can actually go in, you know, the classes are fantastic. I highly suggest for our listeners that if you're in the Atlanta area to seek out True Prep. They have the two locations, one in Marietta, three now. Gosh, they're growing. Marietta, Roswell, and up in Jasper, and to seek them out. I know they do primarily most of their classes out of the Marietta location, but you know, and if you can't make it or you know, a particular class, all you have to do is just walk in the store, which is really pretty awesome. With any kind of question or guidance, you know, they're excellent about just putting you on the right path.
Some of their instructors are brought in you know, because of their expertise, but a lot of their classes are taught by their individual staff members because they are that knowledgeable. They're able to not only teach the classes, but they work there on a daily basis. So you might walk in with a canning question and get the canning instructor to give you a 30-minute sit down and talk about what you wanted to learn. So, I mean, where can you find? You can't find that at any other store that I have ever been to.
Right. Well, I know that True Prep is, you know, they are specific about who they do hire. And this, you know, just emergency preparedness in general really has to be a passion, you know, in the people that they hire.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It makes a difference.
You know, we're looking at all of the wonderful things that they're doing. They've really reached out and worked well with us trying to bring this message out there. I know that they're going to be stocking Survivor Jane's book, Where There Is No Cosmetics Counter. I think that we can proudly announce that is True Prep's product of the week.
Product of the week.
That's right. It's a great book for everybody who wants to be able to not only have these supplies when the world ends, but also if you just want to get away from fluoride toothpaste. toothpaste. Mm-hmm. There's a recipe for that. Mm-hmm. If you want to get away from formaldehyde in your shampoo, there's a recipe for that. There's all these common sense recipes with on-hand ingredients. I mean, you're not going to have to go rooting for things out in the wilderness to get the ingredients you need to make
although
your
toothpaste. Although that would be fun.
Well, you know, there is some advantage to natural oils, but it's things that you have on hand every day, and you can make these products and have what you need, and it's a fantastic book. So I would encourage everyone listening to our show to either check her out on her webpage for her book, or swing by True Prep, pick up a copy, page through it, and maybe add it to your personal collection.
Yeah, that sounds great. And if you've forgotten anything or want to listen again to this broadcast, you can always find us at readyradio.net. Not only today, but you know, you might have someone that you're thinking of that you're like, you know, I've got a buddy who really would benefit from hearing this. And, you know, and check it out, because we've got some other, all of the other broadcasts that we've done. We have that recorded right there at readyradio.net. And anyways, it's, you know, Doug, this has been great. And we need to get more ladies out here, I think.
I agree completely.
Yep.
It's been a good show. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. You're listening to Ready Radio. Tune back in next week at the same time, same channel, for the next episode that we'll have. You're listening to News Talk 1160, The Talk of the Town.
You've been listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by True Prep. For all your prepping needs, visit True Prep online at truprep.com or visit a True Prep store in Roswell or Marietta. Tune in each week as Doug and Amy get you ready for anything that comes your way. Ready Radio, Saturday evenings at 5, only on News Talk 1160, The Talk of the Town.